want you to find your place in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We've been studying through this book together. This is our New Testament book that we're studying through, and we've come to the last chapter. It's going to take us just a little while to get through this chapter, but we have been plowing through 1 Timothy, now 2 Timothy chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I'm beginning a message tonight entitled, the first three words of the very first verse, I charge thee. I charge thee. Let's pray together. I'm going to begin this message with you this evening. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Would you help me as I preach? Would you teach us from your word? Give us understanding and clarity of thought. I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel before you. I pray that you be honored and glorified this evening. Bind Satan, his evil spirits, we pray. Forgive my sins, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we come to this portion of Scripture, what we see is we see the Apostle Paul, now keep this in mind now, is approaching the time when he will be put to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, he has truly been a wonderful soldier of the cross, and his time of departure is at hand. We'll see this in this chapter later on. Not tonight, I'm talking about later on as we travel through it. He's been used of God in a mighty way, and he's getting ready to see the Lord face to face. Now, it's with this in mind that we come to this chapter. Now, our great God has recorded some of the last words of this dear saint of God for our learning and our admonition. Now, we should all know that whatever a child of God speaks about in his or her closing moments in life is of utmost importance to them. This is what we have here. He's getting ready to die, and he knows it. So he's choosing his words carefully under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. His departure's at hand, and he's speaking to this young pastor by the name of Timothy. Now, we read and we see what Paul is telling Timothy here. After all, this is God's word, and it's therefore the Lord's admonition to us today. So in other words, what Paul is saying to Timothy, God is saying to you, and he's saying to me tonight. His admonition can be summarized with the opening phrase, I charge thee. You know, in these verses, we see Paul charging young Timothy to do certain things. He's commanding him. He's charging him. However, before we get to this charge, I charge thee, and then he gives several things that he charges him to do. Before we ever get to this charge, it's important that we see a sobering truth brought out in verse number 1. Notice it again. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now it's interesting here, folks, that Paul is telling young Timothy that his charge that he's getting ready to give him is before God, and it's before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and judge the dead when he comes. In other words, Paul is charging Timothy that he's telling him what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. It's being witnessed by God, and it's being witnessed by the one who will judge all someday. He wanted Timothy to live, in other words, with eternity in view. He wanted Timothy to know that he was accountable to the Lord for what he was about to hear. And can I say this to you? We are all accountable for what the Bible tells us to do. God is going to hold us accountable for what we hear tonight and what he has written in the pages of his word. He wanted Timothy to know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and that when he comes, he's going to resurrect the dead, and he's going to judge those who never died, and he's going to judge those who did die. Every man's judgment, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:26, every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Those who are not saved will be cast in the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 15, when they stand before the great white throne judgment. However, those who are saved, I hope that's you tonight, we will not stand at the great white throne, but we will stand at what the Bible calls the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We all need to have our eyes on the day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will judge us. When we truly get a glimpse of that awesome day that we're going to stand before God, it should motivate us that whatever He tells me to do, my answer is already yes. It's understandable here that before Paul ever gives the charge, it begins in verse number 2, his charge begins in verse number 2. But before he gets to the charge, he says, I charge thee, Paul's, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He's saying, I want you to take this seriously. This is serious what I'm getting ready to tell you to do, young preacher, because you have a date with God, and so does everybody else that you will preach to. Are you with me so far tonight? Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 2, 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Acts 17, 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Other portions of scripture that show that Jesus Christ is going to judge this world includes Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, John chapter 5, verses 27 to 29, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Folks, listen to me, please. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. You and I have a date with Jesus Christ. He's going to judge us some glorious, wonderful, awesome day. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat, but I'll tell you what it does for me. It motivates me that whatever He charges me to do, my answer is already yes. If He says jump, how high? Why should our attitude be that way? Because this charge is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Keep the judging hand of God in your mind. You are going to stand before God someday. I am going to stand before Jesus Christ someday. And Paul wanted this young preacher, before he ever opened his mouth about what he charges him to do, he wanted him to know he has a date with God. Now that being the case, let me give you this charge. Well, I'm going to get to one of these tonight. There's several things he tells him to do. I'm only going to get to one of these statements. Number one, he says, I charge thee, verse number 2, preach the word. Preach the word. The first thing that Paul commands, charges this young pastor Timothy with in the face of judgment, he said, I want you to do this, Timothy, rear back and preach the Bible. This word preach means to herald as a public crier. See, one reason we see why this charge is given is the use of the word therefore. Notice it here, preach the word. And in verse number 1, I charge thee, now listen, therefore, now you've heard a preacher say, you've probably heard me say this before, anytime you see the word therefore, look and see why it's therefore. The word therefore carries you back to the previous context. Therefore, in other words, what's just been said, because of this, I charge you to do some things. Now, you understand that he could be talking about the entire book up to this point, But the immediate context is chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we notice the last days, remember? In other words, this word therefore sends us back to the previously mentioned things where the Bible talks about the last days in chapter 3. Perilous times shall come, boasters, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. But then you go to verse number 16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And he's saying this, because of the scripture being inspired of God and because of the world turning their back on Jesus Christ, therefore, the first thing you are to do as you look at the judging hand of God, you are to rear back and preach the truth. Now, I want to give you three things about his preaching. I think it's three, or is it four? There's four things. Four things I'm going to give you about his preaching here in verses 2 to 4. Number one, we notice under this is the first charge now. That's all we're going to get to tonight. The first, he said, I charge thee. What? Number one, preach the word. Four things about it. Are you with me? Number one, we notice the subject of his preaching. The subject of it. Notice what it says in verse number 2, preach the word. In this charge, we see how Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, charges Timothy to preach the word. In other words, he was not to spend his time preaching his own ideas. He was not to spend his time preaching his own philosophies. He was not to give his own thoughts and his own words. The subject of his preaching was to be the word of the living God that was inspired by God, that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He was to preach the Bible. He was to publicly cry out the truths of the Word of God. And let me say this to you tonight, folks. This book is the authority of God. If you have a pastor and you don't, praise God. But if you ever had a pastor that would stand up here and say, let me tell you what I think you need to know. Let me tell you what such and such teaches down the road. You know what you ought to do? You ought to grab him by the seat of the pants, open that window right there and cast him out and say, don't ever step foot back in here again. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, we are to tie ourselves to the blessed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God and rear back because judgment is coming and preach the truth to the world around us. This is the subject of our preaching. We are not to preach something else. We are to preach the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not a perfect church. I'll be the first one to tell you that because I know your pastor and I know how far from perfect he is. But I'll tell you one thing that I know is right about this church. We're going to give you the Bible if you come here, folks. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to teach it in Sunday school. We're going to teach it in our Cadets for Christ. We're going to teach it in our Bible school. We're going to teach it no matter what's going on here. The Word of God is going to be open, and the Word of God is going to be taught, and the Word of God is going to be preached because this is the only book that's inspired by God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 14 to 15 and 17, says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm telling you that the subject of our preaching, now this goes for this pastor, this goes for a Sunday school teacher, but this also goes for a soul winner. This applies to every Christian. You ought to be a preacher of the gospel. Now I've got to be careful how I say that. And make sure you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I didn't say you get up in the pulpit if you're a lady and you open the Bible and you pastor a church. A man is to be the pastor of the church.
A man is to be called to preach. There's no doubt about that. But don't miss this point. Every child of God is a preacher. All I mean is that you cry out publicly, this is the truth. I'm saying if you're a soul winner, and you ought to be, your subject is not your experience. Your subject is the Word of God. It's the Bible that converts, not your experience. It's the Word of God that's living, not your experience. It is the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to rear back and preach the Word of God, the subject of His preaching. Number two, we notice the season of His preaching. Verse number two, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Now, Paul is telling young Timothy here that the season of his preaching is at all times, whether it's convenient or whether it's not. You know what the words be instant means? It means to be present. It means to be at hand. In other words, he was always to be at his post, urgently preaching the truths of God's word. It's been said, and I quote, a man who's greatly intent on an object will seek every opportunity to promote it. He will not confine himself to stated times and places, but will present it everywhere and at all times. It's also been said, just as the fountains, though none may draw from them, still flow on, and the rivers, though none drink of them, still run, so must we do all on our part in speaking, though none give heed to us. In other words, he's saying this, I want you, therefore, in the face of the last days, in the face of those who are disobedient to parents and blasphemers, in the face of that, in the face that you have the assurance that God's word is inspired and it's profitable, in the face that you're going to be judged by Jesus Christ, preach the Bible and do it when you feel like it, and do it when you don't. Do it at all seasons of time. Now, folks, listen. We need to keep in mind that the judge is at the door and eternity is at hand. We're to take every opportunity we are given to preach the truth of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. We're to do it in season and out of season. Number three, let's notice the segments of his preaching, the different parts of it, if you will. Look at verse number two. Preach the word, there's his subject. Be instant in season, out of season, there's his season. Here's the segments. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He goes on to tell him not only when he should preach, but how he should preach. He's saying, here's what you're to do when you preach. There's the different segments. He gives them five. Number one, reprove. Now, this word means to tell a fault. It means to convict. I've had people leave our services and say, man, my feet sore. You stomped all over me today. I don't feel very good coming to this church. You know what? That's because one of the works of the wonderful Word of God is it reproves us. It shows us what is wrong. It points out sin. It tells a fault. It convicts us. In other words, he was to faithfully preach the word of God in order to bring fault home to the offender and shine light on sin. That's what the word of God does, folks. When it's faithfully preached, you know what it does? It's when somebody's over here in the dark and nobody knows about it. It might be a secret sin. It might be an open sin, but a lot of times it's what they think are secret sins. And the word of God gets up and is preached. Somebody preached it faithfully, and it's just like he takes a spotlight and goes, and it reveals you're wrong. Reprove. The second segment is not only reprove, but rebuke. This word means to forbid or condemn as wrong. In other words, he was to faithfully preach the word of God and reprimand people and warn them. Let me show you the difference between reproof and rebuke. Stealing is wrong. Reproof. If you took something this week, you're wrong and you're not right with God. Rebuke. You see the difference? In other words, faithful preaching is in our face. It tells us that is wrong. But it says, if you do it, you are wrong. And God will judge it. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think it's easy on a preacher who is flesh just like everybody else he preaches to get up and say that is wrong and you're wrong if you do it? No. Can I say something to you about me? Let me tell you one reason I preach hard. By the way, we had a couple in our church on Sunday visiting, fine people, great people. I really enjoyed meeting them. And she told the lady she came with, she said, I'm not used to a preacher walking around screaming at me. You want me to tell you why I get riled up? You want me to tell you one reason I do? Number one, I do because I know I've got the truth here, folks. But another reason is because I need what I'm preaching. If you're called to preach, men, amen. If you're called to preach, you know what I'm talking about. I get more out of my own preaching than I do anybody else. That's not a proud statement. I'm just telling you that's just the way it is. Preacher would say the same thing, I'm sure. Because you spend hours and moments in the study just studying this and God is showing you things and wait a minute, good night. Man, I need that. I'm saying the Word of God reproves, it rebukes. Number three, exhort. That word exhort means to call near, comfort, or console. In other words, when he would faithfully preach the Word of God in season, out of season, it would bring comfort and consolation to those who needed it. You know, it's amazing how the Word of God can bring comfort to a troubled heart. It's amazing how the Word of God reproves, it shines a light on what's wrong, it rebukes, it gets in your face and says you're wrong if you do that, but then at the same time, if you're going through a valley, you go to the Word of God and it brings you comfort. It brings you relief. It brings you consolation. Now, I've been there. When I've gone through some trials and tribulations, which is nothing compared to what some of you dear folks have gone through or are going through. But it's amazing how God will speak to me just when I need Him to through His Word. And all it does is it brings comfort to my troubled heart. Timothy is being charged by Paul, preach the Word. And when you do it, reprove, rebuke, exhort, comfort people. Give them something to latch on to that can carry them through the rest of the day. Then number four, he tells him this. He says, with all long suffering. This is another segment of preaching here. This word means patience. In other words, he was to faithfully preach the Word of God with patience, realizing not everybody was going to heed what the Bible says. Not everybody's going to do it. He was to consistently and meekly keep on preaching no matter what the response was. See, there are some preachers who will stop preaching because they don't see results like they want to see them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know of any preacher that's seeing all the results he'd like to see. A preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, whatever, a Sunday school teacher, boy, wouldn't you love to see the altar flooded every time you opened it? Wouldn't you love to see people bawling their eyes out and coming forward and getting right with God? Sure, you'd love to see it all the time, but it's not going to happen. It can, but listen, people are people and not everybody's going to respond right to the Word of God. And he's saying, Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience. Just keep at it, boy. Don't quit. Be patient and keep going. Keep pumping the truth. Then there's a fifth segment. He says, with all long suffering and with doctrine. Now, this word means instruction. Again, he starts off with preach the Word and he ends it with the same thing when he says in doctrine. He's saying, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and the Word. You see what he's doing? He started with it, he ended with it. He's saying, preach the Bible. Stay faithful with it. Don't give up on it. Keep planting it. Keep spreading the seed. If they drown it, keep pouring it on. If they don't want it, keep giving it to them. If they do want it, rejoice and keep spreading it. Keep on going. This is the segments of his preaching. Then there's a fourth thing about his preaching here. By the way, we're just starting on this chapter. I charge thee. I charge thee what? Preach the word. What about it? The subject of it, the Bible. The season of it, in season, out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't. When it's convenient, when it's not. The segments of it, reprove, show what's wrong. Rebuke, tell them they're wrong when they are. Exhort, comfort them when they need it. Be patient and make sure you stick with the word of God. Then we see number four, the seriousness of his preaching. Now we see this in verses 3 and 4. Notice the language here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now when I read that, I was like, now what is he saying here? And you know, after Paul gives these instructions to young Timothy, when he makes these statements, you know what he's telling him? He's saying the hour is urgent. It is at hand, because these people that you have an opportunity to preach the truth to now, if you don't get to them, they'll turn elsewhere. Did you hear what I just said? He's saying there's coming a time when people will not put up with sound. You know what that word sound, it means healthy. They won't put up with healthy doctrine. But they will give themselves to teachers who will scratch every itch they have. You know what it means when you itch? It means you have something you want taken care of. Man, I want that itched. Somebody scratch that for me. Man, that's what I want. And he's saying this, if you don't preach the truth to them, they can find them a preacher who's not going to reprove, not going to rebuke, and not going to exhort, but just going to study them and say, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. This is powerful, folks. Now I'm telling you, he's saying that they will turn to teachers who will give them what their lustful hearts desire. They will turn to those who will not faithfully preach the Bible to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. They will turn away their ears from the truth and turn to fables. Jeremiah 5:31, listen to this. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? You know, this goes to show that we are to faithfully preach the truths of God's word to those who we have an opportunity to before they go off and they find an unfaithful and ungodly teacher who will simply give them what they want instead of what they need. Does that make any sense what I just said? Don't you tell me that even in the Tri-Cities, and notice I'm not mentioning any churches. I'm not making that my business. This is in the Lord's hands. But even in the Tri-Cities, there are places all over the Tri-Cities where people can go and all they're going to do is hear a little sermonette and feel good about themselves and go home and just believe in themselves a little bit more than they did the week before. Can I say something to you? If you feel good every time you leave this service, I've not done my job. Now, does that mean that I'm trying to make you feel terrible? I'm like a piece of trash every time you come in here? No. There are times that you come in here. Sunday night, if you were here Sunday night, what a great service we had. Amen. I'm talking about observing the Lord's Supper and people standing up and praising God for His goodness and caring. Hey, you know what that was? That was the Word of God exhorting us. But there are other times when you come in here and it's like, man, well, I need to do better there, don't I? You know what you ought to do? You ought to get on your face and say, thank God
that the Word of God is rebuking me and reproving me. By the way, why does He rebuke and reprove in His Word? You want me to tell you why He does it? Because He loves you, folks. And He wants what's best for you. Do you understand that the blessings of God come to those who are right with Him? So what's He doing? He's trying to say, hey, you're wrong there. Why is He doing that? Because He's a bad God? No, He's doing that because He wants to get you to the point where He can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. We're sinners. And every now and then, we need to be reproved. We need to be rebuked. Every now and then, we need to be exhorted with all longsuffering, with doctrine. We're looking at this together. Can I summarize it? I think I already have. He's just come out of chapter 3, the last days. We were there for several weeks, remember? We saw, you know, what was going to happen during the last days and how people are characterized. And then we saw how the Word of God is inspired and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul says, I charge thee therefore, because of what you just heard, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead as His appearing and at His kingdom. I charge you, boy, take the Word of God, open it up, rear back, and preach it. And when you do it, reprove, because that's what the Bible does. When you do it, rebuke. Why? Because that's what the Bible does. When you do it, exhort. Why? Because that's what the Bible does. But when you do it when you feel like it, you do it when you don't, in season, out of season. You be patient. You keep on doing it, whether you're getting results or not. You keep it on the Word of God. And you understand something, young man. That crowd you have an opportunity to give the truth to right now, they won't always be open. There's coming a day, if you don't get to them, that they'll find what they want instead of what they need. Can't you hear the Apostle Paul agonizing with his pen as he's writing this? Now, how does this apply to you and how does it apply to me? I think you know how it applies to me. Really, the direct interpretation is speaking to me as a young pastor. I mean, directly. But it also applies to you as a Christian. God has given every one of us an opportunity with somebody in this life who needs the truth of the Word of God. Amen or not? And we as a Christian, in season, out of season, with the judgment hand of God in our mind and in our eyes, and with the understanding that they will not always be open, potentially, that they can find what they want instead of what they need, may God motivate us to take our Bibles and preach the Word and give them the truth. Amen. We're only started in chapter 4. I love preaching through books. Powerful. Not because it's my thoughts, because it's the Word. May God use it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You tonight for Your goodness to us. I pray that You'll help us to be faithful in obeying the charge that the Apostle Paul gave to young Timothy. But we know that it is the inspired Word of God for us tonight. Help us to see this. Help us to understand this. Help us to get this. May Thy will be done. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. She's beginning to play through softly. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that does not know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that the truth has pierced your heart. And if you died just like you are, you do not know the Lord. And you're concerned that heaven is not your home. Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Or maybe you're a Christian tonight and you say, Jody, I know I'm not the young pastor, Timothy, but I know I'm a Christian. God's speaking to me about preaching the Word. Just being faithful, preaching the Word. To those that God has in my realm, in my
in my sphere of influence, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my school, just apply it wherever you're at. God is speaking to me about preaching the truth in season, out of season, and just giving the word of God to people, understanding that if I don't do that, they can always find somebody that's going to give them fables and give them lies. God's speaking to me. Let me be honest. You say, Jody, pray for me that I'll do a better job in preaching the word, giving the word out. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. That's me. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, pray for me that I'll do this. God bless you. Several hands. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take this thought. Bless it in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As she plays through, we're not going to have any singing, but as she plays through, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Come now. Come on. Come on now. Let's talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to preach the word. Help me to give the truth. Help me to share the truth with those who are around my sphere of influence, because I understand if I don't give them the truth, there may come a day when they turn to fables. There may come a day when they turn to lies and deceptions. May the Lord help us to preach the word. No doubt about it. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that first verse. I know I said we weren't going to have it, but I'm going to change my mind here. Let's sing that first verse together, shall we? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. I just challenge you as she's playing through here. I got finished early tonight, 5 minutes. Aren't you proud of me? But can I say this to you? Aren't you glad somebody gave you the truth? Somebody gave it to you, folks. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Give him the truth. And the thing is, we don't have to worry about what the truth is. We have it. It's in book form. Right there it is. We preach the word. Be faithful. By the way, for the church birthday, we're going to be revealing something to you that I believe the church will be very interested in. That affects all of us. You interested in knowing what that is? Have you interested in that? Would you raise your hand? Got to be here to come. Got to be here to see it. I believe you'll be excited about it. Amen, Brother Bob? You know what it is. I think they'll be excited about it. Have you think you know what it is? Would you raise your hand? You think you know what it is? Have you have no idea what it is? Would you raise your hand? But you are interested, right? You're interested in it? Have you like me to tell you what it is tonight? Would you raise your hand? This gives me great pleasure. I'm not going to do that. But I believe you'll be interested in it. Amen. I love doing that kind of thing to people, you know. I'll let you in on it, preacher. You already know what it is. He knows what it is. That's Moses. He knew before I knew. You know what I mean? Whatever. Good. Very good. Brother Pendleton, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us and ask the Lord to bless us as we go our separate way, sir. You go right ahead, please.